Welcome to another episode of Neon Movie Bunker. I'm John Robinson.
And I'm Larry Stanek.
And we're here to talk about movies.
And Three from Hell.
Yes.
Rob Zombie's next film to be released in theaters is going to be in theaters only 3 days.
Only 3 days?
Yeah, only 3 days.
Here today, gone today.
Kind of. It's part of a... what's the name of the group again?
Fathom Events.
Fathom Events, yeah. They're doing a Fathom Events special for it. A different bit of bonus features being featured with it each night.
Okay.
As this third film in the saga of the Firefly family.
Yes.
Hits screens.
Yes.
This is different from the previous two films.
Which got relatively wide releases.
Yeah. The Devil's Rejects in 2005 got a wide release.
Yeah.
And in 2003, House of a Thousand Corpses got a limited release.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But not so limited that we had to schlep way out of our way to find it.
Yeah, we were able to find it relatively easily. And for that, I am thankful. Because that was quite the cinematic experience.
That's definitely one way to put it.
It surprises me that what was at one point quite a name brand for Lionsgate is now fallen into cult territory.
Yeah.
Not as surprising as if, you know, the next Saw movie were to be getting this sort of release.
Yeah.
That would be very surprising. But it just says something to me about the relative strength of Rob Zombie's brand as a filmmaker.
Diminished.
Right.
Significantly.
Yeah. Which, having seen 31,
mm-hmm.
I can understand that. But he's... Actually, that's the last thing he made, isn't it?
Yep.
And that was a while ago. So.
Before that, it was Lords of Salem, which didn't exactly set the world on fire.
No, but it was an interesting film. Well made and interesting film. So at least it had that going for it. It's something that can be revisited. 31 is bad. Just bad. So I'm curious. This actually makes me even more curious as to what...
31 was 2016.
Okay. So that's 3 years. That's pretty standard spacing for a filmmaker. And we're talking about somebody who's been on tour as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the guy's working hard. But I'm just curious. You know, does this mean that he's going to be... Because he's been talking more and more about this sort of direct release path for his work, both musical and cinematic.
Really?
Yeah. So, be interesting to see. Is this a sign of things to come for the filmmaker? Is this what we're going to see, more cult films or... movies with a built-in cult audience that is not massive, you know? Because mm-hmm. there's a built-in audience for this.
Yeah.
It's not like it's, you know, coming completely out of left field. If it were, I think it would be just dumped straight to video on demand.
Perhaps.
But, yeah, I guess I'm just kind of scratching my head. A while back, Rob was kind of sitting high and... You know, it made... I remember a time when he was an exciting new presence. I guess that's the way to put it.
Yeah.
And not so much anymore.
Time comes for us all.
Mm-hmm. That it does.
A question for you.
Okay, ask me a question. I like questions. Sometimes I answer them. Sometimes I give accurate answers. Let's see what we get this time.
Did you watch the Netflix original movie Triple Frontier?
No, I did not.
You know who else didn't?
Most people.
Very many of most people, yes.
Yeah.
And it is leading to some changes at Netflix.
Mm-hmm. For starters, they're going to feature less smoking in their productions.
Ooh.
That's the lead.
That was the problem with Triple Frontier.
Yeah.
There's a report going around that Netflix head Ted Sarandos held a meeting in early June with high-ranking TV and film executives where he discussed a new plan for being more picky with spending on original productions.
Okay, that seems reasonable.
Future Netflix originals will be greenlit based on their ability to bring in large numbers of viewers and not strictly for critical appraisal or for earning Netflix industry awards credibility.
So they're giving up the hunt for an Oscar, it seems.
It seems, yes.
Which is good. They weren't going to get one.
The closest they're going to come is getting a Best Director for Alfonso Cuarón for Roma.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they spent $115 million on Triple Frontier.
How much?
$115 million.
Damn. That's a chunk of change.
Which is far above what, you know, what Paramount would have paid for it.
What I'm thinking. Because, I mean, I haven't seen it, but I'm familiar with the basic concept. It's not something you budget there.
Yeah. There are some, I mean, there have had some other major flops, like Marco Polo,
yeah,
the series, mm-hmm, which cost $200 million and
with a series
registered.
Yeah, with a series, I can see spending that sort of money, but still, woof.
And Baz Luhrmann's The Get Down cost $120 million, and apparently nobody watched it.
Well, no.
Because why would you? It's Baz Luhrmann.
I have no counter to that.
let
me rephrase. I saw Moulin Rouge.
I saw Moulin Rouge and Great Gatsby, which was not awful.
Great Gatsby was actually pretty good. But Moulin Rouge.
Yeah.
Woof.
Yes. So, looks like things are going to be changing at the apparently bottomless pit of money that Netflix was paying with is apparently they found the bottom.
Yeah, it was bound to happen sooner or later.
Yeah.
Bound to happen.
So that's another news bit for you.
Mm. Anything else interesting and new in the world of film, John?
No.
No? Nothing? Absolutely nothing.
I have pronounced it so.
Okay. John has pronounced it so. So it is said, so shall it be written, so shall it be done.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Yes.
Well, since we're in that part of the benediction, the part of the evening where I ask you a question, John.
Mail at neonmoviebunker.com.
But I follow up.
Facebook.com/neonmoviebunker.
You and
Twitter.com/neonmoviebunker or at neonmoviebunker or at JohnNMB or at LRANeonMB.
But then that.
Facebook.com/neonmoviebunker. Wait, I skipped a track there, didn't I?
Yes, you did. You did. Jump back one.
Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, www.neonmoviebunker.com. Places, things, stuff.
So, you saw a movie.
Did. I saw Spider-Man Far From Home, directed by John Watts, written by Chris McKenna and Eric Summers.
Mm-hmm.
Stars Tom Holland, Jake Gyllenhaal, Marissa Tomei, Jon Favreau, Zendaya, Jacob Batalon, Kobe Smulders, Tony Revolori, Andrew Rice, and Samuel L. Jackson.
Mm. Okay.
We pick up after Avengers Endgame, a little bit after.
Mm-hmm.
And Spider-Man is still being friendly neighborhood Spider-Man in Queens.
That's a good thing for him to do.
Yes. And he's going on a trip to Europe with his high school.
Sounds fun.
Yes. And Ned's going, and Betty Brant is going, and Flash Thompson is going, and, oh yes, MJ is going.
Well, of course.
Yes. And Peter has designs on making a romantic move on MJ.
All right.
In Paris.
If you're going to do it.
Do it big.
It's either Paris or Bruges.
Not Bruges. Bad things happen in Bruges.
Yeah.
S.H.I.E.L.D. is dealing with some kind of elementals that are causing damage across the world.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is scheduled to hit in Venice, where Spider-Man, where Peter and his class are going.
Okay.
So Nick Fury shanghais Peter, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
And introduces him to Mr. Quentin Beck, or as he comes to be known, Mysterio, who comes from another world.
Yes, he does.
And was fighting these elementals on his world until they destroyed it. And found a way, the snap tore a hole through reality, and suddenly he found himself on our Marvel Cinematic Universe Earth.
Earth 616.
Yes. So Spider-Man and Mysterio team up to take down the last elemental, the fire elemental in Prague.
Mm-hmm.
And everything seems to be going great right up until, well, right up until Peter does something teenagery.
Yeah.
Which is here a word that means stupid.
Kind of.
And then there are reversals and reveals and a big battle in London.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are a couple of endings.
Quite literally.
Yes. This movie is another fine piece of work from the Marvel Factory.
It really is.
Yeah. Tom Holland is terrific as Spider-Man, as he has proved in now 5 movies.
Yeah.
Great, just great inspired casting, and, you know, he's doing a great job with it. Zendaya as MJ has more to do than just be a victim here, which mm-hmm. is nice. The
something that Kirsten Dunst never really had.
Right. Or Emma Stone, for that matter.
Yeah.
The various subplots on the school trip are amusing.
They are.
Between Ned and Betty and the two teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And
I was just going to say the two. J.B. Smoove is pretty.
J.B. Smoove and Martin Starr.
Yeah, they are pretty great in this.
Yeah. And then there's Brian, what's his name, who keeps finding, well, who, Brian? The Peter's competition. As
Matt.
Far. Matt.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Matt, yeah.
I think the actor's name is Brian, maybe. I don't know.
That seems right.
Brad.
Brad.
We were both wrong.
Horribly, horribly wrong.
I was closer. I had it starting with a B, at least.
I had 4 letters.
Yes, and none of them were right. Well, the A was right.
A was right. I get an A.
No, you get an F. 25%.
No, I got an A because that was what I put forward. That's Mysterio logic for you.
Jake Gyllenhaal is really good in this.
Yes, he is. He is really, really good in this.
He's very good at making you believe what he wants you to believe.
Mm-hmm.
Makes me want to watch Iron Man again. first one.
How so?
There's a detail I want to check.
Okay. Does it involve a returning character?
Yes.
All right. Fair enough.
And his plan is very timely in a way.
Yeah. The take on Mysterio that they went with is exceptionally timely.
Mm-hmm.
And the way in which they clearly align him with certain real life analogs.
Yes.
And I think that's brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very smart movie that happens to be about a Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. Or a night monkey. Night monkey was pretty cool.
And then there's a mid-credit scene mm-hmm. and a post-credit scene, and they're both worth sticking around for.
They both kind of, quite honestly, steal the show from the rest of the film, which is impressive.
Yeah.
Because the final battle shows more visual imagination than we've seen in a battle sequence for a superhero movie.
In a while.
In a long time. You know, that there is just a visual sense of play going on that just doesn't happen. And honestly, Mysterio is really kind of the only character you could do this with.
Yes.
Maybe some of the villains in Doctor Strange's catalog. Your Nightmare could probably be used for something kind of like this. But using Mysterio in this way is both really true to the character's origins and really an impressive feat of creativity.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a good one all around.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't seen it yet, get on that. If you have seen it, good for you.
Yeah. See it again. It's fun.
Yep. So that's Spider-Man Far From Home in theaters now. See it.
Available on streaming now through Netflix is Stranger Things Season 3.
We're a TV review show now?
Well, I've reviewed season sets of DVDs before. I'm not seeing
your
the
chain,
huge difference.
Your chain, I yank it.
I realize. Featuring Millie Bobby Brown, David Harbour, Gaten Matarazzo, Caleb McLaughlin, Finn Wolfhard, Winona Ryder, Natalia Dyer, Charlie Heaton, Joe Keery, Cara Buono, Noah Schnapp from, and Sadie Sinkall returning from
previous
seasons. We are joined by, let's see here.
Jake Busey?
Yeah, thank you. Jake Busey. Why did I had the Jake part, but I was missing the Busey, which is really the more pronounced part. And he was Wesley.
Will Wheaton?
No.
Cary Elwes,
thank you. And Cary Elwes as the mayor of the town.
Hawkins, Indiana?
That would be the town. Hawkins has become the location of a new terrifying monument, a new thing, a new large looming evil presence has taken hold of Hawkins. The Starcourt Mall. In it, you've got all sorts of things that you expect in the mall. You've got your, Payless shoes. You've got the Gap. You've got Hot Dog on a Stick in the food court. Also in the food court is Scoops Ahoy, where Steve Harrington, the ex-boyfriend of Nancy, is currently working. Ex-boyfriend of Nancy and close friend of Dustin is working, and he's working there. Because, well, quite honestly, post-high school life hasn't done much for him.
Oh.
The boys have all kind of gone off their own directions. Mike and Elle are spending a lot of time dating. Lucas and Max are spending quite a bit of time together. which leaves Will a little bit on his own. Dustin was off at science camp. When he comes back, he's feeling a bit dejected as well. And then there's the question of the Mind Flayer that finds itself returning to Hawkins for a wee bit of revenge.
That guy.
Yeah. Add into that a Russian conspiracy, secret passageways, a mad scientist or two, and you get the general idea. This season is plotted like a summer blockbuster movie.
Okay.
This, unlike the other seasons where it was much more of an episodic, you know, kind of, each episode, yes, it built and led into the next, but there's definitely a self-contained story within each episode. This just is one thing chopped into eight little pieces to make it a little bit easier for you to take bite-sized pieces of it.
Okay.
You can tell that Netflix and the Duffer Brothers have put a lot of energy and effort into this one. The effects work is superb, which is nice compared to some of the, I'll be honest, some of the creature effects in the last season were a little bit on the dodgy side. Here, the new form of the Mind Flayer is really gross and spectacularly rendered. You see, it is gathering all sorts of animals and liquefying them and then using those liquefied remains to put together its form.
Okay.
Some of those animals include a few of the residents of, you know, the human residents of Hawkins.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So we find ourselves with the boys and Elle facing off against supernatural beings once more, with not just the fate of Hawkins, but the fate of the entire world in the balance. This is a really entertaining, this has been a very entertaining series, and it continues to do so. The second season was, quite honestly, kind of what I was expecting. It had very much, okay, yes, you know these characters. This is going to be a little bit more of the same. We're going to add a few more pieces in. Not a whole heck of a lot changed. The series is, the characters are decidedly different at the end of this season than they are at the start. Much more so than in seasons past. There's a couple of characters pass on.
Oh.
Yeah. And the new additions are pretty strong. I would definitely recommend it. If you are a subscriber to Netflix, this is kind of their flagship show. I'd be surprised if you haven't seen it, but it is definitely worth checking out if you haven't. You will need to know the previous seasons in order for this one to fully make sense. This isn't something you can just walk into cold. They are not terribly good at the quick wrap-up. I mean, even though this season...
The quick recap?
Yeah, this season begins with a recap, but it's not in the story. Previous season had that kind of in the story. You could start season two and you'd be okay. Here, you're not going to get the characters and why they're interacting the way that they are unless you've actually followed the path with them. So,
okay.
I guess I'm saying it's much more Empire Strikes Back than Bond sequel.
Okay. So, listeners, did you see Spider-Man Far From Home, or did you watch Stranger Things Season 3? Please let us know what you thought. mail@neonmoviebunker.com.
In the meantime,
DVDs and Blu-rays.
Coming out on Blu-ray this week is the Buster Keaton Collection Volume 2, which features Sherlock Jr. and the Navigator. Keaton was, of course, one of the founding fathers of cinematic language and film.
Yeah.
And just a huge talent at the dawn of the medium.
Mm-hmm.
And here you get a pair of his work put together, easy for you to watch.
Cool.
Yeah.
Also coming on DVD and Blu-ray this week from director Claire Denis, or Denis, I'm really not sure, is High Life.
Yeah.
A weird space movie.
It is a weird space movie. It's a pretty good weird space movie.
It's all right.
Yeah.
But it's very weird.
That it is. That it is.
In space.
Indeed.
And Robert Pattinson, for everybody who, I've said there are two groups of people regarding the Robert Pattinson is Batman news.
Yeah.
There are those who have never seen a Twilight movie but condemn him because he was in them.
Right.
And there are those who have actually seen things he's done besides Twilight and realize he's quite capable at what he does.
This is one for them.
Yes.
Check this out. He is really good in this.
Yeah. Yeah. Got anything for us to avoid this week?
Oh, I certainly do. This week coming out on Blu-ray is the movie This Island Earth. Now, This Island Earth is not the one I'm going to recommend you avoid.
Okay.
It's notable for being... This Island Earth is notable for being a bad movie, which it is.
Yeah.
It's also notable for being the featured film in Mystery Science Theater 3000, the movie.
Yes.
Something we discussed briefly before starting recording.
Yes.
But This Island Earth is still significantly better than this year's Pet Sematary, which had one good shot in an otherwise really laughable attempt at adapting Stephen King.
Yeah.
This is one of the scariest novels the man has written. And we were laughing watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And we weren't the only ones. Pet Sematary is just best avoided.
Yes. Hey, Hillary.
Hey, John.
Let's go to the movies.
Okie dokie. What are we going to go see?
First most things to see right now is Spider-Man Far From Home.
I can agree with that.
Good for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Next most of things to see right now, good for some people, is Midsommar.
Ah, you saw it.
I did.
What'd you think?
I liked it.
Excellent.
I liked it quite a bit.
Good, good.
It was creepy.
Oh, hell yeah.
It was real creepy.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And then there was the creepy parts.
Right, yeah. There's a cliffside.
That was unsettling.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was. And what else you got for us?
There's a bear outfit.
Yes, but Nicolas Cage doesn't wear it, nor does he punch any women, so it's okay.
Last on my list of things to see right now, I mean, you can do worse than Men in Black International.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. If you're going to stay at home and pop something into your home video player of choice, be it DVD, Blu-ray, 4K, streaming, whatever. As I said, Stranger Things is really entertaining, and Season 3 steps up the game. It is a hell of a ride. A lot of fun. Follow that up with Captain Marvel,
okay,
which is a lot of fun as well.
Yeah.
And Climax, which...
You're just going to keep pounding that drum.
Until something that, you know, has that level of impact on me comes along. Yeah, probably. Which means Midsommar comes out on home video when?
I don't think it's been announced yet.
No, it hasn't.
Want to take the opportunity to mention our email address one more time, mail@neonmoviebunker.com. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/neonmoviebunker. We are on Twitter @neonmoviebunker. I'm @JohnNMB.
I am @LRANeonMB.
We are available through Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts and Stitcher and Spotify, so please subscribe.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you do that, go visit www.neonmoviebunker.com. It's new. It's improved. There are bells. There are whistles. Stuff. Things.
Yay! Neon Movie Bunker.
And so we come to the end of another episode of the Neon Movie Bunker. This week's episode is produced by LRA Stanek. The executive producer is Kate Walpole. The junior executive producer is Maggie Stanek. The theme song is by
Dr. Awkward and the Monkey Man Trio.
So until next time, I'm John Robinson.
And I'm LRA Stanek.
And we'll probably see you at the movies.